Now then, Hebrews 11 is a chapter about faith, but it's got an interesting way of looking at faith. It's more of a Jewish way than a Greek way. And what I mean by that is, the Greeks, if you talk to Greeks, the Gentile idea of faith is it's what's in your head, what you think, what you believe. That idea, yeah? Yeah? Well, the Jewish way of faith is it's not just what's in your head, but how it affects the way you live. I call that real faith. James talks about it. Faith without works or deeds is dead. It's not real. And, of course, Paul says the same, really, that our faith works itself out in our loving actions. So this is not so much about what they believed, because basically we know what they believed. They believed in God, the real God, the living God. And as a result of that, it meant that they did things. They had their lives were touched and changed by what they believed. So there's a test for you to start with. Does your faith make any difference to your life?
Yeah,
well, that's all right then. There must be something real about it then. That's the idea. You got the idea. Yeah. So let's see what he says. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So the idea of faith is that we're holding on to something that's in the future. It's what we're hoping for and we can't see it yet. But faith says it's coming. Right? So there's a way of enjoying what's not there because faith brings it to you in a way. Yeah, so that's the idea. Faith is being sure of what we hope for. This is what the ancients were commended for. Now the ancients, he means by that, not people who are old, yeah, but people from long ago. Yeah, the old time people. Yes, and he's going to look at some of these, of course. Yeah, so they were all commended because they believed God. And the good thing is, you don't have to be smart to believe God, you know? It's worth trusting, whether you're smart or not. Yeah. So this is one interesting bit. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Mm-hmm. Essentially, he's saying is that our faith helps us to grasp that what we see didn't exist to start with, and there was nothing, and God made something from nothing. Yeah? We have to believe that. Mm-hmm. It's better than the Big Bang.
Yes.
Yes. Because at least I know somebody can make it. Mm-hmm. Big Bangs don't produce anything, just mess. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. So he's really saying something that's really important, and this is an important theological point anyway, and it's this. That God existed before anything else ever did. Yeah. Everything that we see and touch and feel, and the things we can't see and touch and feel, did not exist until God brought them into existence. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because there used to be a teaching that there was, and I suspect that's one of these modern science ideas as well, the eternity of matter. Mm-hmm. Things have always been like they are, you know. Well, the Bible says no, there was a beginning. Yeah. And by faith we believe that. Yeah. And and others who don't believe that still have faith. They believe it didn't happen that way. I believe it did happen, happen this way. Yeah? So they can't prove it because they weren't there. And I can't prove it because I wasn't there. But I can believe it because God told me.
Yes.
You got the idea?
Yes.
Right. So I believe what God says because in the end, you're on the right side.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can I ask this side this thing? Yes. I was just thought about it. You know, this verse is quite good, you know, when you believe in creation, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because we can't say surely during our lifetime, when the scientists keep trying to chuck this at us and chuck this at us, the old enemy does try and make you have a, you know, wobbly
hand. Undermine it, That was the devil's intention, to undermine people's faith in God.
I mean, it's a good verse.
It's a great verse, yeah. We believe, and he's saying that's what faith does. It shows you, it connects you to the reality that you can't see.
Mm-hmm.
It's real, but you can't see it. Yeah, and some people say, I mean, you must have heard people in conversations you've had with them about the Lord.
Yes.
Says, well, we can't see him, so. And I usually say, well, you can't see radio waves, but they're all around you, haven't they? Yeah. You just need a receiver to get them.
That's right.
And you need a receiver to get him.
Yes.
It's called the heart change. Yeah. Anyway, there we are. So he's got this idea that faith is about holding on to and grasping things that you can't see to start with. Yeah. And then he's going to give some examples of individuals who actually lived that way throughout the history of the Bible. This is a very quick Bible history with selected individuals. As I say, it's a portrait gallery of some of the worldlies, we could say. So the first person he begins with about faith is Abel. Okay. Was Abel the first person to exercise faith? Who was it then?
Adam.
Adam?
Yeah.
How do you know Adam exercised faith?
Because the job
says
so.
It doesn't say so. Well, it does in a way, but how do you know? Well, Adam disobeyed.
Yeah.
Yes, that, but that was before he disobeyed though.
Yeah.
Well,
he
had
right.
faith that God was going to come
in
the garden and walk with him.
Yeah, but I mean, that's before he lost it, you see, yeah. He lost his fellowship with God, and then God restored it, yeah? How do I know Adam lived by faith?
Because he didn't work, he didn't...
No. What I'm getting at, what was this faith? It says something about the woman, yeah? And it's something you can't see that he's holding on to. What did he call the woman? Because she was first called woman, you know, wasn't she? Taken out of man, so she's called woman. In fact, he said, whoa, man, when he saw her, yeah? Yeah, you got the idea. But that was a joke, you know.
Yeah.
Right. What did he call her? She was called female to start with. No, after the fall, God said to the woman and the Adam and to the serpent, "I'm going to sort out that serpent. I'm going to send one of the seed of the woman to crush his heel. He'll bite him, but he's going to smash the serpent." That was the promise. You can't see his future. It's Messiah coming, right? So it's something that God says you can't see and believe, or touch rather. Yeah. What did Adam do to show that he believed it? No, it's not. It's in Genesis chapter 3. What did he call her?
Darling.
Yes, I'm sure. Yes. Eventually, when he got over the shock of just having lost it all, he renamed her. What did he call her? She was called woman, and now she's Adam and
Eve.
He called her Eve, and the Eve means the mother of the living. So he believed the promise, though he couldn't see it. Right? So that's faith. That's what it's about. Yeah. But he's not quite. That was my bit. So I had to read to Hebrews 11. Yeah. Right? We get to Abel after this, right? Abel. Now by faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. Mm-hmm. By faith he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. Yes? What did Abel do? He had a brother called Cain, and they brought offerings to God. Abel brought a sacrifice. Yes. Abel brought a sacrifice. What did Cain bring? He brought his vegetables. I'm sure they were fantastic vegetables. But somewhere along the line, we're not told this, and this is part of the assumption behind it, somewhere along the line, God must have instructed them to say to them, when you come to worship me, you come via a sacrifice. Yeah, he must have laid that down somewhere along the line, yeah? Very early on. When you come to me, you bring a sacrifice. Well, Abel thought, yes, I'll do it. And what did Cain do? Well, what's wrong with my stuff? That's good enough.
The grain is
thanksgiving. Yes. And so that's what I conjecture that has happened there. So Abel brought a sacrifice that God was pleased with because it was a sacrifice.
Yes.
Yeah. A blood sacrifice. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And God spoke well of his offerings. Mm-hmm. You've done right. You've done well. Is that good?
Yeah.
Good when God says, well done.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And if you put your trust in what God's promised, he can say to you, well done. Yeah. And as a result of this, in and by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. Mm-hmm. Well, by faith, he trusted God, and he believed that God would bless him, yeah, and he got killed for it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But there's a bit in the later chapter in Genesis, when God says to Cain, where's your brother? Mm-hmm. Yeah? Where's your brother? And he says, I'm not my brother's keeper.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
I have no idea where he is. He knew where he was. Yes. Yeah. He's lying. Yeah, and God says to him, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground where it was spilt. Mm-hmm. His blood is speaking.
After
he killed him, even though he's dead, he's still speaking, as it were. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what he's saying, is as he trusted God, God would provide for him and care for him ultimately. Yeah, even though he got killed for his faithfulness. Yeah, and so his blood still speaks. And he says that just now.
Speaks in terms of
Yes, yeah. That's true, yes, yeah.
Nothing is
now, there's another bit, it comes later in Hebrews, we won't get to it just yet, but it says, I think it's next chapter or two, where it says, the blood of Jesus speaks better than the blood of Abel. What does Abel blood cry out for? It cried out for justice. Yeah? That's what he's saying is, God says, I hear the cry of your brother's blood. Yeah. You are guilty, yeah?
Yeah?
So it cries out for justice. What does the blood of Jesus cry out for?
Grace.
Mercy, yeah. Grace. Yeah. Because justice has been met in the shedding of his blood. Yeah? Yeah. Right, so it speaks a better thing than the blood of Abel. But there it is, it still speaks, yeah? Right, then, that's Abel, yeah?
Yeah.
Now we're on to verse 5. We move on quite a long time, quite a few years, you know? By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away.
Oh,
yes. There are two people in the Bible that never died.
Really?
Yes. Right? Enoch is one of them. Who's the other? This is your Bible quiz for the evening.
I thought
you
heard it in Jesus, but
he
didn't
die. No, it's not Jesus. No. No. One other person didn't die. Let me give you a clue. I'll sing you a song.
No.
Swing low, sweet chariot, come and for to carry me home. Right. Who was in the chariot?
Oh, yeah,
the it's the rusty set in badly. It's Elijah. Elijah was caught up to heaven in the chariot of fire. He didn't die. Right. So Enoch and Elijah didn't die.
So where did they go then?
Straight to heaven.
Well, he's caught in
a
fire, but did he die
in a
fire?
No. No, he was caught up to heaven, just like that.
Ah.
Where he did the chariot. Right? Now, this is a complete aside in a way, but I'll put it in because it gets on my wires.
Yeah?
And it's this. In Revelation, there are the two witnesses, yeah? The two witnesses in chapter 11, I think, there are two witnesses who appear, do great miracles, like Moses, like Elijah, and that,
yeah?
And for a while, nothing can stop them. And then they're killed, and then a few days later, they're caught up to heaven. Yeah. Right? Now, who are the two witnesses?
Oh, no.
Taffy wrote to me from his campsite the other day. He's been reading Revelation, and he said, who are the two witnesses? And my answer was, some think it's Moses and Elijah, right? Or like Moses and Elijah, yeah? I said, but since they haven't turned up yet, I don't know. Which is the answer, of course. We don't know.
No.
Right? Some people think, now this is the bit I'm getting at, it does have a connection. Some people think it's Enoch and Elijah, the two people who never died in the Old Testament. Right? Yeah? So they've all got to die before the Lord comes back. Utter rubbish, as far as that comes in, concerned. Because what does Enoch and Elijah prophesy is the return of Jesus. They call it the rapture, if you want to use that term.
Yeah.
When Jesus comes back, those who are alive will be like Enoch and Elijah. They won't die.
No.
Got the idea? So hang on in. When Jesus comes back, no dying. Right? Save on funeral expenses. Yeah? Got the idea? Yeah. Right? Yeah. So, Enoch didn't die. Yeah? In fact, he's one of the shortest lived people in the Old Testament. Because God took him before.
Took him
when he was younger. Younger, yes. So Enoch didn't die. He was, and why didn't he die?
Well, no,
it's not that. Good, listen to this. He says, before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. What was it about Enoch that stood out from all the rest of them was that he believed God, and in believing God, lived for God, and that pleased God. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, God said, you're the best in the bunch, I'm taking you out because the rest of them are in big trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not long after Noah came along and wiped the lot out, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So Enoch walked with God, pleased God, yeah? There's a lovely little story told by this old preacher I used to listen to, and I must share it with you because it's a really lovely one about Enoch. He said, Enoch walked with God, that's the phrase. And he said, this is how it was. Yeah, God used to come along to his house every evening, knock on his door and say to Enoch, hey, Enoch, how are you doing? I'm fine, Lord, thank you. And he said, shall we go for a walk, Enoch? And so Enoch went out for a walk with God, and they'd talk about the things of heaven and the glory and all of these things and what God was doing. Yeah, and they had a wonderful time. And then time to go home, and they went back home, and Enoch went back to bed, home there. And one day, God came along to Enoch. He said, "Enoch, let's go for a walk, shall we?" "Oh yes, Lord, I love going walks with you." And he walked, and he walked, and he walked. He got really quite a long journey. He said, "Hey Lord, it's about time for going home, isn't it?" He says, "No, I'll tell you what, Enoch, we're nearer my home than yours. Let's go to mine tonight." Yeah? And he was never seen again. Yeah? Got the idea. He walked with God, and they lost him. He disappeared. Right. Yeah. It was a warning. Yes. Anyway, Enoch walked with God because he wanted to trust God, and in trusting God, he was pleased with him. God was pleased with him. Yeah? And then he uses this verse as an example of that, verse 6, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God." You can't please God if you don't trust him. Yeah? He's a God that's to be trusted. If you don't trust him, then you're hitting at him, really. Yeah? So without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. That's who God is. He exists and he blesses. So if you believe that and come to him, that's faith. That's what it's about. Yeah? So faith means that we come to him, we believe he exists, and that he's able to bless you.
Well, thank you for the kingdom of heaven.
All these other things will be added, yes, yeah. It's wonderful, yeah. Right. Yes.
No.
Those who earnestly seek him. So now, yes, now we've done Enoch, we're on to Noah. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, remember, faith is about what you can't see, but you know it's coming, so you act on it.
Yeah.
Warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. In other words, what did his faith do? It made him do something.
On with the job.
He got on with the job. Even though everybody, I'm sure, were thinking he's lost the plot. Yeah? But he believed God, and he was right to believe God, because when he finished the job, the rains came. Yeah. So he
God
did what he did.
God shut the door.
Yeah, yeah. God shut the door. Yeah, and so he did that to save his family. Isn't that wonderful? Your faith can have effect on your kids. That's wonderful to know as well. Eh? Yeah. By his faith, he condemned the world and became the heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Now, he didn't condemn the world just by saying na 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 to them all. Yeah, but basically, his doing what he did meant their rejection was them condemning themselves in the end.
Yeah.
Yeah? But what Noah did was believe God, and he says he was recommended or as an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. He shows us that's what faith does. Mm-hmm. It leads to salvation. Yeah. Noah was saved. Mm-hmm. I mean, physically, literally, by trusting God. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, the same goes for us ultimately, isn't it? Yeah? Right, so that's it. Now, so that was Noah. So we've been antediluvian, that means before the flood, and now we are diluvian with Noah, and now we're post-diluvian, that's after the flood. Right? So we've got now the man of faith, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Do you feel like Abraham sometimes? You've no idea what you're doing. Yeah, but God told Abraham, get up and go. He never told him the address.
No.
Now that's called faith.
Yeah.
You don't see it, but you know God said it, and you'll trust him, he'll show you as you go along. And there's a lovely example of that, of what faith is about. He won't tell you everything to begin with. Trust him, and he'll reveal as you go along.
Yeah.
Why doesn't he tell you everything to start with?
Because I don't
want to
know. I want to see what they were believing.
Exactly, yes.
Although he knows.
Well, yeah, we think we're in control, I suppose, if we know everything.
You've got to
keep close to him. That's right, keep trusting. It's the same with the manna, wasn't it? God could have given them a year's supply. Float from down from heaven, bomb, in front of their tent, year's supply. No, day by day by day.
Yeah.
Got to keep trusting.
Yeah.
Right, next one then, we've got it. Abraham went to the play, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. Well, when he got there, God said, this is yours, but you can't have it. Really, isn't it? Yeah, he says, it's yours, but not yet. That's what faith is about. It's yours, but not yet. in some ways, yeah? He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob. Now, he's just thrown those in as extras, yeah? Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. What was the promise? Two promises, the land and the Messiah. Yeah. So they believed the promises, these three chaps. And do you know, that's why God loves to be called the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. Yeah. Because the promise absolutely focuses on what he told them. Yeah. Right. They were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to a city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. So what city was Abraham looking forward to? Heaven. It is heaven, really, yes. Yeah. But heaven coming to earth eventually. I mean, you see that in Revelation. But he's looking forward to heaven. So he realizes, okay, Lord, you promised me this plot of land, this bit of real estate, but it's not real estate at all. It's temporary estate. Because this world's going, ultimately. Yeah. So he was looking forward to something far more enduring, eternity. That's what Abraham was doing. He believed God. Right? And we're called to do that.
Yeah, you've just got to think. I remember there was a time when I thought, I really did have a question, and I thought in the top of my mind, no, you're the architect, God.
I
remember saying that.
God's the architect and builder of the city.
Yeah.
Yes. He's got all the designs, all the details. It's quite something, isn't it? Yeah. Wonderful. And I mean, I think of that when I look out into nature, in my garden and whatever, I see all these little leaves and things in the trees and the creepy crawlies and everything else, and the detail that's going on there. I mean, the chemistry that's going on outside there is phenomenal.
Yeah.
And God's designed all that. Yeah. So he's a very good architect. That's what I'm getting at, as well as putting it all together.
I was in the kitchen doing a little tiny flies.
Yeah.
And I've got a
bunch of
gifts.
Yes.
I don't know how.
Yeah. But they've got the gift. They've got a gift that I haven't got yet. They can fly.
Yeah.
It's amazing, isn't it? Anyway, never mind, yes, okay. Always amazing stuff that God is the architect of. Verse 11. We continue with Abraham because his life has got a lot of great lessons there. Mm-hmm. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was unable to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. Yes? Mm-hmm. Abraham was told he was going to have a son. That was when he was clocking up 90 on.
Yeah, yeah.
Sarah's well past childbearing age, yeah, and God says, you're going to have a son. And what did Sarah do? She laughed.
Yeah.
She laughed. It was a laugh of embarrassment, I think. Maybe a bit of a laugh of an unbelief. Mm-hmm. And the Lord said to Sarah, he said, why did you laugh? And she said, I didn't laugh.
No.
He said, yes, you did. But I'm telling you, I'll be back next year and you'll be holding your baby boy. And that was true. I think, you know, I'll say this again, I really do feel the Lord's gentle rebuke of Sarah was to tell her that she was wrong, but also I think it sparked faith in her heart.
Yeah.
Yeah? She would think about that moment and think, hey, he really meant it, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's
right,
no.
Yeah. Right.
And they got their changed names as well, didn't they?
Yeah, that changed the names because something's changed inside them. Yeah. Right, he considered him faithful who had made the promise. Well, if you can't trust God, it's a bad job. Right? God promised, he believed him. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, because no family there really effectively, not the promised family anyway, it came as descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. Well, God, that's not what God told him.
Amazing.
His descendants would be, and if you do a count, that was there. Yeah. Right, so there you are. All these people, now we've reached up to Abraham so far, yeah? All these people were still living by faith when they died. And that's a lovely phrase, isn't it? They were living by faith when they died. What's it mean? They were living by faith when they died.
He didn't see the end from the beginning.
They never saw the fulfillment of their promise, not in its wholeness.
No.
They received the promises, they accepted the promise, but they never saw it fulfilled in all its fullness.
Mm-hmm.
Just like we haven't really until we see Jesus and all his glory and everything else, yeah. But they were living, but they were believing that, but up to the moment they died.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And when they died, they met the Lord and had a celebration. Yes, I'm sure they did.
I think that's why prayer life is so fascinating, because God says he'll answer it in his way.
Yes.
And you know, if you pray you know he's going to answer in some way,
yes,
in his way later. So
that's right, and that's what faith's about. I'm trusting you, Lord. I don't know how you're going to do it, and I don't care how you're going to do it, because it's not my problem.
Yeah.
I remember someone talking to me at work when I was in Spillers there, and I said about the Lord raising the dead when Jesus comes back. And the chap said, how's he going to do that? There won't be enough room. How's he going to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there will be enough room, ma'am, if you want. But anyway, I said, not my problem. He who made the universe, I don't really have any problem finding space for the rest of us, do you? No. Not my problem. God can do it. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. Well, they received the promises, but they didn't get all of what it was promising, yeah? They only saw and welcomed them from a distance. Yeah? They saw and welcomed them from a distance. And Jesus uses that concept, phrase. It's not that, but this is written after Jesus rose from the dead and went to heaven. But Jesus said something about Abraham that was really upset the authorities, the Sadducees and the Pharisees that were around at the time. What did he say? He said, before Abraham was born, I am. Right, that's one of the things. And he says, Abraham rejoiced to see my day and was glad. Yeah. So Abraham was looking forward to the day of Messiah. Yeah. He was glad. He got something of it by faith. Yeah. And that's for us. I mean, we've got something of it by faith. When you read Jesus coming back, new heavens and new earth, all the glories they're going to be, they're yours. But we haven't quite got them yet. Got the idea. So we've got them by faith, but the faith's still waiting for it to be fulfilled.
Because they died, right?
Yes.
And they saw them from a distance.
Yes.
And then actually reached heaven.
Well, no. They saw it from a distance, that all the things that are promised haven't quite been fulfilled yet.
Well,
I mean, Abraham, if he'd lived, would have seen descendants as numerous as the stars on the sky. I mean, there's so many kids, it's unbelievable, yeah?
Yeah?
Yeah. But he never saw it, he just believed it.
Yeah.
Because
well.
Yeah.
So it's the same for us, isn't it? Well, that bit I read this morning, you know, at one time I wouldn't have noticed them, but every time I am the good shepherd, I am.
Jesus is using the name of God.
Yeah.
That's why he says he's given the name that is above every name, that's God's name.
Yeah, but you notice it more.
Yeah. Right, we've got to now. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. They admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth.
Yeah.
I am an alien.
Yeah.
Are you an alien?
I am an alien.
What does he mean, we're aliens and strangers?
It's
not our home. I thank God for the temporary residence. We're blessed, but we're not here forever.
No.
Yeah. Whether we die or whether we go like Enoch, this isn't going to be it. This isn't the final stage. Yeah, it's just temporary.
Just, it's something different, but I was watching them homes today, you know, different homes.
Oh, yeah.
And these couple wanted a home, but it wasn't permanent. They only wanted it for the next 10 or 15 years, and they changed again.
All right.
Oh, you don't
they
know.
Think they have no idea. They sometimes talk about the forever home.
Yeah.
We want our forever home when we're retiring. I've got news for him.
Yeah.
It's not for him.
No, it makes me think I've got too many bits then.
Well, I know, Joe, yeah. Yeah, people who say such things are showing that they're looking for a country of their own. Yeah, they're looking forward to something beyond, yeah. If they'd been thinking of a country they'd left, they would have had the opportunity to return. And that's like Abraham. He could have gone back to the Chaldees, and all of that, yeah. But he thought, no, that's not where I'm... God wants me to be, and I'm moving on until I find out where God wants me to be, yeah? Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Yeah, so that's what they're looking forward to, yeah? Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Yeah? Oh, that's amazing, you know? When you think about the lives of these people, and some, I mean, here we see them as great, wonderful characters, people of faith, but you know, they had their warts and all, didn't they? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And yet God says he's not ashamed to call them his people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. God's not ashamed of you. Isn't that wonderful?
Mm-hmm.
Because you put your trust in him and you believe him. And he's going to do things with you, change you, and transform you. It's going to... Yeah. No, but I think, you know, God loves us. I mean, that's unbelievable. Yeah, there's a bit in the Screwtape Letters that C.S. Lewis wrote. It's a senior demon talking to a trainee demon on how to mess up people's lives, yeah? And the senior one is talking about how this Jesus person, you know, actually died for these rats called humans, you know? And the point he says is, do you know, the weird thing is, he actually loves them.
Yeah.
Yeah! Oh Lord, it's amazing, eh? Well, there we are. They're looking forward to a better city, and God's not ashamed to be called their God. And he has prepared a city for them, right? A city. So you've got a room or two. Maybe two rooms.
One of the buildings.
I've no idea. I do not know how God's going to do this one.
That's his problem.
Yeah, I mean, he solved most problems. I love when that preacher the other week, James, was talking about when Jesus got put on the spot by people.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and they're all going, oh, yeah, how's he going to get out of that one?
Yeah.
And when Jesus did it, oh, that was cool. He can solve it, no problem. Yeah. Right. Verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice.
Wow.
That was really the big one for him, wasn't it? Yeah. God said to him, I want you to sacrifice Isaac. Yeah, and there's a lot you can look at in that one. Says, but he who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac your offspring will be reckoned.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a terrible, terrible test.
Oh, really?
And the important thing about it is God didn't test Abraham like that at the beginning. You know, the strength of his faith grew, his experience of walk with God.
Mm-hmm.
And God was testing his faith tougher later on,
yeah.
I suppose. But also, what was going on there is the picture of what Father was going to do with his son Jesus,
yeah.
Ultimately. You know, there's the prophecy in that as well.
Yeah.
But Abraham believed God. And he believed God and he did something. But this is what the writers of the Hebrews got into Abraham's head and worked out what he was thinking. And he says this, Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead.
Yeah?
He says, Lord, you want me to kill him? Well, you said you're going to build a nation out of this fella.
Yeah.
How are you going to do it if he's dead? Well, the only logic I can figure out is you raise him from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. That's good logic.
Yes.
And so figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. When he says figuratively, effectively, Abraham had offered Isaac.
Yeah.
He was willing to go through with it.
Mm-hmm.
That God said, no, we'll stop it. I know that you're actually believing me and trusting me. That's fine. Yeah. Of course, God didn't say stop when he came to Jesus.
No.
Of course.
No.
Jesus did die on the cross for us. Yeah. But Abraham, he was willing to offer his son. He believed God. He believed the promises, and as a result of believing the promises, went through something that went completely against the grain. That's what faith does. It gets you through hurdles that you can't imagine you'd ever get through.
Yeah.
Right, so Abraham did it. Yes, by faith. By faith. Mm-hmm. We've moved on now then. Yes.
Jacob.
By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and that was Isaac prophetic. We're all in Genesis at the moment. You notice I'm just covering Genesis so far. Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. Well, Isaac blessed Jacob. And that was a cheat mode, wasn't he? He pretended to be Isaac, to be Esau. But he blessed him, and he also blessed Esau, although there was no promise of the inheritance of the Messiah and everything else. But he did bless his son as well, Esau, it was an earthly blessing more than a heavenly one, verse 21. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, well, we've not got there in Genesis yet, but we will. When he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons, and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. Old Jacob, and there's an interesting bit about this word, about his leaning on his staff. We're not quite there in Genesis as we're reading it, but do you know the story?
Yeah.
Joseph had two boys, Ephraim and Manasseh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I can't remember who's the oldest one now. I think Manasseh was the older one. Yeah. And Joseph brought them to his dad, because his dad was dying. And he wanted to bless these boys, ultimately. Yeah. He was getting very old anyway. Yeah. And he wanted his dad to put his right hand on the eldest one and his left hand on the younger one. And Jacob swapped hands.
Yeah.
And Joseph says, you've got the wrong ones, Dad, you know.
Yeah.
Jacob says, I know where I'm doing. Mm. God's told me that the younger one is going to be more prominent than the older one. Yeah, which was true, Ephraim became more prominent. Yeah. It says, he worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. Well, the word for staff can also mean his bed. Yeah. But I do think he leant on his bed, but he was leaning on his staff. What was his staff? His walking stick.
Yeah.
What was that about? They said, I think there's a lovely bit in the story of that one. Why did he need a walking stick? Well, he's 100 and odd years old, I know, but why did he need a walking stick?
Keep the sheep
in order. No. He had a limp. Yes, he had a limp. Do you know why he had a limp? We've done this in Genesis, you know. You've forgotten it. He had a wrestle with the Lord, and he wouldn't let the Lord go. So the Lord says, you better let me go, Jacob. It's time to go. Yeah, and he says, he touched him in the socket of his hip and dislocated it. Yeah. And from there on, he walked with a limp. Yeah. Right. Jacob was humbled and broken, and yet he now is Israel. He's no longer Jacob. He's been changed. Yeah? Yeah. It made him depend on God, like the bread every day, like all of those things. Jacob, for the rest of his life, realized he met with God. God had blessed him, and this little leg was a reminder. I don't think it was painful, Gene. I think God didn't give him the pain, but just gave him the awkward limp of it. Yeah. But he had his walking stick with him, and I think as he's blessing these boys, he's also worshipping the Lord, remembering he met with the Lord, the Lord was in on it, and the Lord was going to bless these boys for the future as well.
Amen.
Yeah.
But that Paul had this thing with his heel.
Is it a heel?
Wasn't it a heel?
No, thorn in his flesh is described as.
His sight.
Well, he thinks it may be his sight. It's mentioned in Galatians that they plucked out their eyes for him. But it just says a thorn in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure the Holy Spirit makes it vague enough so it could cover everybody if you want to just apply it to you as well.
Yeah.
My grace is sufficient for you. It's enough for Paul and for everybody else. Yeah. Anyway.
In a way, that reminds me of, you know, I try not now to sort of only sort of more and more think of things of the past, only to think forward.
Yeah.
And I think in doing that,
well, we think forward, remembering God's faithfulness in the past.
In the past.
Yes. Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
Yeah. Sort of incident.
Yeah. All right, so he's worshipping on his staff, right? Where's that? Yes, verse 22, Joseph. We're still in Genesis, yeah? By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones.
Wow.
Yeah? That's Joseph, and this is 200 years before the event, he's looking forward in faith, and in faith he says something about his bones.
Yeah,
he says, when I die, put me in a box, right? Get my bones collected together, put them in the box, right? He says, and when you leave, because God's going to get you out of this place, make sure you take me with you.
Yeah.
Yes, because it's the land that God's promised that I want to be buried in.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Jacob's trusting God as he dies.
Yeah.
He's looking forward. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So Jacob's buried in Israel. You knew that.
Yeah.
He's waiting for the Lord to come back. Yeah. Right, so we moved on from Joseph. Now we move on 100 or more years. Yeah. We're into Moses' time now. We're into Exodus at last. Yeah. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Well, they were afraid of the king's edict, but they weren't that afraid they would let it happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did they do?
They hid him.
Yeah.
Yes.
How
would they know he's not an ordinary child?
Circumcised?
From his size?
No.
It was a Hebrew, he would be circumcised. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Well, actually, that's an interesting question, but his parents were believers. Definitely believers.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there must have been something about him, or something that God showed them, that this chap's going to be different.
He wasn't
ordinary. Not ordinary. Yeah. I'm sure he was ordinary in that he cried and he was hungry and all of that stuff that babies do. But there's something they knew that this child was going to be special.
Mm.
Yeah. And as a result, they weren't going to have him killed.
No.
Yeah. And so they hid him.
I can't remember ever reading before that about both parents. All I can remember about is mother and Miriam.
Mother, yes.
I can't remember it. He's by faith, Moses' parents.
Yes.
But I can't
both of them.
Remember
They were both involved, yes. Mm. Yeah. Moses needed a good mum, but he needed a good dad too. Mm. And for those first few years, up to what, how many, about 3 years I suppose, before he got put in the basket, or whatever it was. But then for that first part of his life, his parents put into him something that would last forever.
Levi.
Sorry?
From Levi.
Yeah, it was Levi, yeah. Right, his parents hid him, yes. Verse 24, by faith Moses, when he had grown up, so that was a quick 80 years, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Half a verse and you moved 80 years, yeah? By faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What did he choose to be? He chose to be ill-treated along with the people of God, rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Moses made a decision, I'm not going to be an Egyptian, I'm going to be what I am, a Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he chose to be with, associate, and be recognized as part of the people. And now then, just think now, who is the writer of the Hebrews writing to? He's writing to Jews who are thinking of going back.
Mm.
Yeah? And he's saying, you know what Moses did? Moses made a choice.
Forward.
He decided to stick with God's people rather than to go back to the stuff that he come from.
Mm.
Yeah? Lesson, stick with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, don't go back. Yeah? He regarded to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. You know? Sin had its pleasures. Did you know that?
Yes. Oh,
yes.
Yes. Yeah.
For a short time. What's the problem with sin?
Yeah.
It don't last. It don't last. It's like the drugs. The more you get, the more you need.
Yeah.
And the worse you are as you go along in it. So there's the warning.
Can't leave you with good memories.
Sorry?
Can leave you with good memories.
Leave me with good memories. Well, I'm not sure about that.
No.
Well, thing but supposed to be.
All
right,
yeah. All right, well, think about that one. Yeah. Yeah. If we see the nature of sin as it really is, and I say there are things that we may have done that may not be quite as bad as other things, but if we see sin for what it really is, we can see it would take us to hell. You only need one sin to get you to hell. That's all you need, yeah? And we see sin. And I'll give you a classic example of Isaiah. Isaiah, in chapter 6 of Isaiah, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, I am lifted up. Now, prior to that, Isaiah had been a Levite, worked in the temple, he'd been a good boy, I'm sure he was.
Mm-hmm.
Decent lad, yeah? Right? And yet, when he meets with the Lord in a really powerful way, he falls down. He says, oh Lord, I'm undone. Woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live amongst the people of unclean lips. And I think Isaiah was probably, I don't suppose he told dirty jokes or made nasty cracks at people and anything else. And suddenly he sees his heart in the light of the glory of God.
Yeah.
I'll use the illustration just as a little example. You know, when the sun is really shining bright and the room's dark and you open the crack in the curtains, what can you see?
Light.
You can see the light, but you see something else.
Rain.
When you let the light, the little light beam, shine into a room, what can you see? You'd see the dust. You know, you don't see the dust at all normally, but when the light becomes intense, you start seeing those little specks that have been there all the time. That's happened to Isaiah. He sees the Lord with the light on full, and all of a sudden sees himself as, oh, that's really me. Yeah.
That's a bit quick work. I heard about someone who vacuumed the air because she was so...
Yeah. Yeah, but did she have a light on what was coming out of the back of the vacuum?
my understanding was that was quite limited, wasn't it, about the Messianic.
What was?
Moses' understanding.
Moses believed in the Messiah.
Quite limited.
Well, yes, all these early ones had an understanding, but yeah.
Very
not the full glory.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Well, it
says, we see what it says that in Hebrews. Yeah, we'll just get there, yeah. Right, where we got to? Moses, he chose not to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded this grace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward.
Mm-hmm.
This grace for the sake of Christ? He never heard of Christ, had he?
The
problem is our translation. I mean, the Greek, it's using Greek. What's the word Christ mean in Hebrew? What do we use the word for Hebrew? word for Christ in Hebrew. It's Messiah. Messiah. Yeah? Right? Mashiach, if you want the literal pronunciation. But, yeah? Moses was looking forward to the Messiah. Yeah? Right? So he got it. Yeah? He didn't know a lot, but he got some. Yeah?
Right. Well,
so
the fact
that they wanted more male Israelite children killed was one thing. Yeah. What? Sorry?
They wanted all Moses. They wanted Moses killed was one thing. The
Israelites. Oh, they wanted, yeah, the Pharaoh wanted them because he was scared of them. Yeah. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. Right, well, there's a little question for you. Mm-hmm. He left Egypt twice.
Yeah.
What did he, how did he leave first time? This is testing your Exodus memory, isn't it? How did he leave first time? Let me tell you, he did a runner.
Yeah.
He killed an Egyptian. Pharaoh found out and he was after him. Moses ran away. So he's not talking about that time. Second time Moses left, how did he leave?
He went in
with all the Israelites and all the Egyptians scared to death of him. Yes, right. That was the time he went. It says Moses. What did he say? By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who was invisible. And he was trusting God to get them out because God had sent him down to do that. Yeah. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. That's faith in action. They had to do something, they had to believe something before it happened. Mm-hmm. That's faith. You trust God and then you'll see how it works out. Mm-hmm. God said, slaughter a lamb, put the blood on the door, stay inside. Mm-hmm. Simple. Mm-hmm. If you did that, you're safe. Passed over, yeah. Mm-hmm. So faith eventually saw its fulfillment there, yeah. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. Now, whose faith was it? Was it the people's faith? Maybe some of them, I guess. Yeah? When they went through the Red Sea.
Yeah.
That must have been quite something, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've been there. Looking at, it's almost like going to that, Sea World up at King's Lynn.
Yeah.
You know, you can walk inside the water and see all these creatures all around. Yeah. I don't know if it was like that, but anyway. It says they stood up on walls on either side, so could be. Anyway, fancy putting your hand in the sea, you know, getting a fish and pulling it out again on dry ground, I don't know. Anyway, there you are.
It went through by faith, because I mean, you'd be fearful of it, wouldn't you?
Yes, yes. They trusted the Lord, they went through by faith, and because they were believing God's promise, they got through. The Egyptians tried. They had a sort of faith, because the Israelites had done it, we can do it. But they weren't believing in God. So the moment they get inside there, Moses waves his rod, and
that's it.
Swamped them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They found a remnant.
That's right.
The
chariot wheel. That's right.
Do you know where?
Not in the usual place.
No.
That's the point, yeah.
Yeah.
If you go to what's called the Red Sea today,
yeah.
that's not where it was crossed,
no.
I'm certain.
No.
It's the Straits of Hormuz
yeah.
where they crossed.
Right.
And over there are evidences of
that.
Yeah. Anyway, that's another story, that one. We'll leave that for the moment. Yeah. Anyway, they believed. Yeah. Right. Verse 30. Well, right, so we moved off from Moses. We're on now to the book of Judges.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell. The walls didn't have faith.
Wow.
Who had faith?
People.
Joshua and the people.
Yeah.
Joshua was told, walk around the city 7 days, once a day, except for the last day, when you do it 7 times.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that meant they went around 13 times, and that's unlucky, you know. No, being stupid as usual. Right. Why did the walls fall down?
Because
God pushed them over.
Yeah.
That's why. Why did God push them over? Because they believed what God was going to do. They trusted God. Yeah, and they did what they were told. I mean, what general in his right mind would do that sort of thing? I should imagine by the 6th day, the people in the city, when the Israelites came around, doing your little tour again, are you? and all that. Yeah, well, on the seventh day they found out it wasn't a joke. Because they believed God. By faith the walls came down. Right, Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. Verse 31. By faith the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. Now the interesting thing about that is, all the wall didn't fall down. A bit of the wall stayed up. Yeah. Which bit of the wall stayed up?
The bit where she lived.
Yes. Isn't that interesting? I've said this before, God can hit straight with bent sticks.
Yeah.
He knows how to shoot straight.
Yeah.
And that bit of wall, that's standing. Oh,
yeah.
Right? The rest, gone. Down came the walls. We've lost that one now, yes. She welcomed the spies. What did she? Why did she do that?
She heard about God.
She believed what God was going to do.
Yeah.
And she was wanting God's mercy.
Send
the spies out the wrong way,
so
they
weren't captured.
And
her and the family.
And she saved the family as well, yes. And she became an ancestor of the Messiah. And what shall I say? Now, quick run through the book of Judges. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell. It's like me, you see, we run out of time, yeah? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel and the prophets. So that was a quick run through the book of Judges and books of Kings and all of them. Yeah. Like all of those people. He talks about them. Now the interesting thing, I just want to tell you about, this is worth remembering. In this gallery of all these worthies, Abel, Noah, you know Abraham, all of those. In this gallery of all the worthies, he talks about their faith. Right? What doesn't he talk about? Their failings.
Yeah.
Right. Why?
Because
it's all gone.
Yeah.
It's all gone.
It's such a reassurance, isn't it? Right?
Yeah. Fantastic, yeah? Yeah. So, like I say about the judgments, we're back to this again, Ron.
Yeah.
At the judgment, God rewards your works.
Mm-hmm.
Yes? Your sins have gone.
Yeah.
Right? So these guys are getting a mention for the good stuff they did, believing God, and all the rotten stuff they failed in.
Gone.
Forgotten. Gone. Yeah? Right. Yes. Can't talk about these people. They who faith conquered kingdoms. Who did that?
God.
The kings did, and Joshua did. Yes? Conquered kingdoms. Administered justice. Those were the judges and so on, yeah? Who gained what was promised. They got into the promised land. Who shot the mouths of lions? Who did that?
God.
Yeah, but I'd be talking about some of the people that did it.
Daniel.
Yeah?
Daniel.
Daniel. Yes, Daniel shut the mouths of lions. Well, God did.
Yes.
But he believed God, yes? Right? Quench the fury of the flames. Who did that? Quench the fury of the flames. Can't burn me.
Oh, isn't it when I went through the
people? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Right, you got them,
yeah?
Escape the edge of the sword. Well, there were plenty of battles with that one. Whose weakness was turned to strength. Yeah, they were, in one sense, just yes, in that sense, yeah? Who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Yeah, so they did amazing things. Women received back their dead. Who's that about? Yes. Who raised the dead in the Old Testament?
Sisters.
Who?
Sisters. When their brother Lazarus.
That's not the Old Testament.
Oh, no.
Who was raised from the dead in the Old Testament?
The woman with the oil, his son.
The one who died, yes.
Yeah.
The Zayat final Phoenician woman, not the book.
Yeah,
she was one of them.
The one
who
said as well,
she gave all she had.
Sorry?
She's not dead, she's sleeping.
12-year-old
girl.
That's in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, there's a lovely example. One day we'll look at the life of Elisha. I think that might be worth having a looking at. But Elisha died and was buried.
Yeah?
Elisha is a real picture of Jesus in many ways, yeah? Elisha died and was buried. They put him in a tomb, in a rock, yeah? Yeah? Some years later, there's a funeral going on, and these people have got this body on a stretcher, and they're going to bury him in a tomb, of course, that's what they did, yeah? When all of a sudden, some enemies turn up, a raiding party, and they do a runner, yeah? Yeah? But what do they do with the body? They throw it into the tomb, and it lands next to the body of, or the bones of Elisha. And what happens? The bloke comes back from the dead and probably starts running with his mates. They probably ran past him when they saw he was there with them. I don't know. But what I'm saying is the spiritual lesson is contact with the Messiah, as Elisha is a picture of, brings life. Yes. His death brings life. Yeah. So they receive life back from the dead. We got that one. Others. Now this is the interesting bit. Others. See, the life of faith. If you hear some of our, and I say our dear American brothers, now if we hear some. I shouldn't say that, should I really? Yeah. That it's all about victory and success and making the cash and you know, doing well. And I'm fine. God can bless you. Did you know God can bless you?
Yeah.
I know that. No problem with that whatsoever. Yeah. Right. So that's all the positive stuff. But he says others. The others, what happened to them? Were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. There was no cavalry coming over the hill for them.
Mm-hmm.
They died
mm-hmm.
in faith. Yeah? Yeah?
In faith.
Yeah, they believed God.
They believed.
Yeah? He says they were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. They knew they were going to be with the Lord.
Yeah?
Yeah? And so they died believing God, even if nothing got them out of it.
Yeah.
I mean, just like those boys, they were put into the fire. Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. What did they say to King Nebuchadnezzar? He says, you know, I'm going to get you fried, you lads.
Yeah.
And they said to him, King Nebuchadnezzar said, we don't mind if you, well, we're not too keen on you putting us in the fire, but we want you to know this. Our God is perfectly able to rescue us. Yeah? No problem. Our God is perfectly able to rescue us. But even if he doesn't, we're not worshipping your idol.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what these were.
Yeah.
Even if he doesn't, we're being faithful to God. And in this instance, God...
We get there anyway.
Yeah. Right. Some face jeers and flogging. Well, that was the prophets all the time. You know, you tell people about God's judgments and what God wants them to do and how to change their lives. And what do they do? Thank them for?
Mm-hmm.
Throw them in pits, flog them, stone them, yeah? Mm-hmm. Still others were chained and put in prison. Well, that was Jeremiah. He had a time in prison for his faithfulness. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. How about that? That, tradition has it, is what they did with Isaiah. They sawed him in two. I mean, the man who told us the fifth gospel, all about the suffering Messiah and everything else, that's what how he ended his life. Yeah. We know where he's gone. We know where he's gone.
Yes.
Yes.
He's just disciples there.
Yes, yes. All the disciples except one were martyred. Yes. Yes. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins. That doesn't sound like prosperity to me.
I think that's when you see it's like, you think of women, you know, dying with you. She died
for
Jesus.
Yes, yeah, yeah, we don't know the half of the blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But these people, they had sheepskins and... Some of our brothers and sisters in parts of the world today are in serious, dire straits for just being faithful to Jesus.
Yes.
Yeah? Right? We pray God will get them out and help them.
Well,
yeah?
Because Isaiah knew a little bit of like what he was told, and that he, you know, God said he you know, could shut mouths and open ears,
yeah.
So he knew all those bits. So in his mind, you know what God can do, and
yeah.
Yet
he's
sorting
out. Yeah, right.
You know,
that's right.
You have to keep
trusting. Yeah,
said
they were. Destitute, persecuted and ill-treated, verse 38, the world was not worthy of them. Do you know, the world killed its best.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the ones that could bless them, they got rid of them.
Well, John the Baptist,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Not worthy of them. Mm-hmm. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. So, it was a tough old life being a believer at times.
Yeah.
Faith isn't always about the victory in this world.
No.
Yeah, we have a victory. We're on the victory side.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean to say it might look like it down here for a while. And
yeah.
The perfect example of that is our Lord.
Yeah.
I mean, Good Friday, as far as everybody was concerned, was a total disaster.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? It's only Sunday, the resurrection morning, that makes it look different.
Yeah.
And come the resurrection, we'll look back on this world and the things that have suffered and trials they've gone through, and they get blessed and they have the rewards of service and trust.
Yeah.
We'll think, wow. It's not looking quite the same now as it was then, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, these were all commended for their faith. Yes, and commended is the right word. God saying is well done. Yeah. Yet, None of them received what had been promised. So they got the promises, they believed them, but the fulfillment of it all is still to come. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. So it's when we're all sorted out and it's all done, then all the rewards and the blessings are in. So trust him. And make it work. It's not theoretical faith. It's faith that makes you do things. Praise the Lord. Well, we've done it. How about that? That's amazing. One more thing to read. May I read that? Yeah. These people, some of these people, suffered serious rejection for their faith. You know, a lot of people did. And I was reading this in the week, and I thought, wow, this is just what I want, whose weakness was turned into strength. It's even from Hebrews. And it was from the 23rd on Friday. It says, always try to be open to constructive criticism, but don't personalize rejection. Don't allow your opinion of yourself to be coloured by the opinion of those who fail to see your best qualities and potential. Successful people have all one thing in common. They had to overcome rejection. In 1902, an aspiring young writer received a rejection letter from the poetry editor of the Atlantic Monthly. Enclosed with a sheaf of poems with the 28-year-old poet had sent them was a short note that said, "Our magazine has no room for your vigorous verse." Yet, he became one of the most beloved and popular American poets of all time. Who was he? Robert Frost, if you know,
yeah? Yeah, I've got his book on my side.
Good. Well, he overcame rejection.
Right,
okay. In 1907, the University of Bern turned down a PhD dissertation from a young physics student. Yet that student went on to change the scientific world forever. Who was he? Albert Einstein. And when a 16-year-old student got his report card from his rhetoric teacher in school, there was a note attached to that that read, "A conspicuous lack of success." But he refused to accept it. Who was he? Winston Churchill. After listing the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11:34, we read, "Whose weakness was turned to strength, and who overcame, who became powerful in battle." And that can be your story too. David, who experienced spectacular failure in life, wrote, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. The only people who can let you down are the people you lean on. So lean less on people and more on God." Well, that's true, although I didn't quite agree with the end bit of that. God's given us brothers and sisters to lean on. Although, as long as we remember, while we're leaning, he's trusting God in the end. Anyway, any Einsteins around here, or Robert Frost, or whatever?
I'm not contradicting you, Dennis. You said a long time ago.
Yeah.
No, but I'm just commenting that you said, you know, you have to learn, and I found it with Elmo. You know, when you said about leaning on each other as couples, you know, you have to learn that uprightness in Christ, because you'll soon make each other bend over. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like in anything, isn't it?
Yes.
You know,
Our strength is from the Lord. But the Lord sometimes strengthens us through other brothers and sisters. It reminds me of a bit in about the doctors. In the Old Testament it says he went to see the doctors rather than asking the Lord. And the bloke died, I believe. I can't remember. It's somewhere in Kings or Chronicles or something like Samuel. But the point being was he was trusting in human abilities rather than in God. Now there's nothing wrong with doctors. But just remember, the doctors can't do anything. It's only God who makes anything work. Right, you've got the idea.